listening to Free Talk Live. FreeTalkLive.com is the website, and 855-453 is the phone number where you can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. This is Stephanie with you tonight, and Julia, filling in for Mark. He'll be back next week. And, Julia, I've got this really disturbing story. Did you know that studying while Muslim is now probable cause in the U.S., in the police state of the U.S.?
Wow.
Apparently, the NYPD has been spying on some Muslim students, but on Free Talk Live, you know, your calls are very important, so I think we'll go to Justice, who's been waiting on the phone lines very patiently in Siberia. I don't know if he's really in Siberia, but Justice, are you with us?
Hello?
Hello, Justice. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hello, Stephanie. Hello, Julia. Nice to be on with you guys, finally. I've been listening to Free Talk Live for quite a while.
Great. And what did you want to discuss with us tonight?
Well, first of all, I want to talk a little bit about the discussion between the Liberty crowd. There seems to be a back and forth between, like, minarchism and voluntarianism. But I wanted to comment on probable cause with Muslim students. I mean,
you know
we have to spy on them because they're just terrorists, bombs waiting to go off, right? I mean,
yeah, all of them apparently are terrorists. No, of course not. I mean, it's ridiculous as lumping all white people into one group or all, you know, it's a very diverse group of people. You know, I don't agree with any religion personally, but and Justice, you're breathing into the phone a little bit. Maybe adjust it if you could.
Sorry about
Thank
that.
You. No problem. But yeah, I mean, it's really just this in-group out-group mentality, isn't it? When people think about Muslims, and they've really sort of Muslims and illegal immigrants, you know, since 9/11 have really become this like scapegoat in the U.S. that people kind of blame all these problems on when it's really not. Like, maybe a few individuals were responsible for some acts of terrorism, right, that happened on 9/11. And, you know, it's not a reason to stereotype anybody who has a certain religion or who has a certain color skin or who comes from a certain country. You know, I think we have to think of people as individuals if we're going to make any progress on those things.
I think you're right, largely. I mean, I think that's correct. Part of my perspective that actually led me to looking at the Liberty Movement, again, through our good friend Ron Paul, like so many people, I've heard comment on that on the radio before.
Sure, yeah.
Other than that, one of the things that helped me come to a more Liberty perspective is living overseas and seeing, say, the Russian community here blaming groups of people for the ills of society.
So you actually do live in Siberia?
Yeah, you guys always seem to be so, how to say, like, incredulous when someone calls in from, like, India or South America or something. You're like, allegedly from Siberia. It's like,
well, it's great. I mean, I'm really happy to have you on, Justice. I just, for some reason, I thought it raised some red flags, and I thought it might be a crank call because, you know, Siberia, I guess, is an area that I think of as like, you know, really low population, really cold. And maybe that's a stereotype. Maybe I should just not hold that belief anymore. But that's what I was thinking.
It is really cold, and it is really low population, but only due to the large landmass. Like, I'm sitting right downtown in the middle of a city of a million people, you know? So, I mean,
I see.
Pretty big city, but it's surrounded by, you know, thousands of square miles of nothing.
That's interesting to know. So you mentioned this thing about minarchists and voluntarists, and you actually said voluntarianism, but it's a slight correction, excuse me. It's voluntarism or voluntarism. I think those. Yeah, I think if you Google those, they'll have some better results. And basically, it's a philosophy that all human actions, interactions should be voluntary, right? Should be done on a consensual basis. Would you say that's how you define it, Julia, in one sentence?
Sounds accurate.
Yeah, and I think the biggest difference in the Liberty community, you know, between people who might identify as minarchists or people who would like a small government, and people who would call themselves voluntarists, is that voluntarists would want no government. They take it sort of one step further, and minarchists think that, you know, maybe a small government is more appropriate.
Right. the question that I have really is, I mean, do we have any historical precedents for voluntarist communities or like anarcho-capitalist type societies surviving in conjunction with a society that's more centralized? I mean, because here's the thing that I've been thinking about. It seems that government does everything less efficiently than the marketplace. I'll give you that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. Except for one thing. It seems like governments make war with great efficiency. And that's the question, you know, that I have. Let's say, I mean, Ian talks a lot about secession, you know. And, you know, all the power to you guys up there in New Hampshire, if you secede, that's great. But New Hampshire secedes, and then let's say for some reason, you know, there's a police action that wants to take place against you. How do you defend yourself if everyone's just like, Russians have a saying that is, you know, my house is on the edge, which basically means no matter what happens to those guys over there on the other side of town, my house is on the outskirts of town, so who cares? That kind of thought. Mm-hmm. And I think, isn't that where we go to when it's just completely, like, voluntary?
Yeah, so I would think, okay, first of all, you've asked a lot of different questions here, and they're all great questions. I'll try to, you know, hopefully address all of them as quickly as possible. And, Julia, feel free to jump in if you have thoughts on this. You know, the scenario of, like, what if New Hampshire secedes and then there's some kind of attack on it, like from some foreign government? Well, one thing that I think of is that if New Hampshire does manage to secede, I would think that one of the biggest things that it would need to survive economically is, like, some strong trading relationships, right? And it tends to be the case historically that if people are trading with one another in different countries, they're way less likely to go to war with each other. And so that's kind of one thing that I think would help keep things peaceful. Another thing is that if New Hampshire does get to a point of something like seceding and breaking off from the U.S. or something like that, I mean, I think it's like it's still pretty far off into the future. Seems like a little unlikely scenario, but we can dream, right?
Right.
And if it does get to that point, I would like to think that the ideas of peace and the ideas of liberty will have spread to the point where it's not like a bloody conflict and like, yeah, let us go or we're going to beat you up. It's more of like an evolution towards, okay, we're, you know, New Hampshire's going to separate because we have differences of opinion or whatever. And it's a peaceful letting go. It's not like a revolutionary split. You know what I mean?
I would think that if we...
Let me interject.
Sure.
Sorry, Julie, just to let me interject here, because this is important. This thought process, this thought experiment that we're doing about the future, I'm assuming that the people inside of the society that decide to secede from whatever world government, say it's New Hampshire, whatever else, other place in the world, the people within that society, within that group, as much as we just stay in groups and grouping people together, but let's say those people inside that group, they understand the principles and ideas of liberty, okay? I'm not worried about the people inside the group. I'm worried about people on the outside of the group, you know, the people...
Right, but don't you think those ideas would spread beyond just us... You know, beyond just New Hampshire, like if they can reach enough people in New Hampshire that New Hampshire is going to be seceding, haven't they reached enough people outside of New Hampshire that they'll let New Hampshire go? I mean, it just seems, what do you think, Julia?
Well, it's secession is definitely a really complex topic.
Yeah.
And it's hard to talk about in only a few minutes.
Yeah, definitely.
I would think that New Hampshire would not be the first state to secede because there are actually strong, the strongest secession.
More active.
Right.
Yeah.
Movements in places like Alaska and California and Vermont.
Yes.
And there really isn't an active movement for secession in New Hampshire. And like Stephanie said, I think we're so far away from that. You know, yeah. I'm not sure. I can't speculate about what I will see in my lifetime, but I don't see it happening anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm optimistic for the spread of peace. Justice, hold your thoughts. I want to keep talking, if you don't mind, with you. Hold the line, please. 855-450-FREE if you have thoughts on secession or anything else. This is Free Talk Live. We got more coming up.
Where do you want to go today? It's the 1,000 Places Travel Minute with Patricia Schultz, renowned travel expert and author of the number one New York Times bestseller, 1,000 Places to See Before You Die, with one more place to add to your traveler's life list.
Italy's Amalfi Coast is one of my 1,000 places to see before you die. The stunningly beautiful Amalfi Drive is a 30-mile stretch of hairpin curves that unfurls between Amalfi and Sorrento in southern Italy. One of those towns is tiny, picturesque Amalfi, once the heart of a powerful maritime republic as early as the 9th century. A hint of the East shows up in its Duomo di Sant'Andrea, simply called Il Duomo. Other places that beg you to linger are Ravello, perched 1,000 feet above Amalfi and aptly described as the place where poets go to die. The hazy outline of Mount Vesuvius dominates the view from clifftop Sorrento, favored among 19th century British travelers for its mild winters.
For more tips and information on the very best places to visit on your travels, please visit Patricia Schultz at 1000places.com. Do you know over 6 million people a year visit the Eiffel Tower? What you may not know is that just around the corner is a hidden cafe with the best croissants in Paris. When you travel with Trafalgar, you'll travel with an insider who will show you must-see sights and share unique experiences. So call 1-866-544-4434 today for a free brochure or visit us at trafalgar.com. See the world from the inside with Trafalgar.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. Are you looking for a concealed carry holster? Crossbreed Holsters is the home of the world-famous Super Tuck, the most comfortable concealed carry holster on the market today. Try one out and see how truly discreet and comfortable carrying concealed can be. And find out why we call it the ugliest holster you'll ever love. We are the standard others try to imitate.
Get the original. Get your Super Tuck at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Again, that's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally. Instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
Powerful forces are trying to destroy your health. It's a fact that we're surrounded by a sea of environmental toxins, from mercury in vaccines and dental fillings, to aluminum in chemtrails, to pesticides and toxic chemicals sprayed all over our food. Even nuclear radiation, which is still spewing out of Fukushima, has contaminated the water and food supply in the U.S. But there is a solution. Liquid Zeolite is an extraordinary natural formula which safely and effectively removes all kinds of toxins from the body, including capturing heavy metals, pesticides, viruses, and radioactive particles. Use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com for fatigue, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, and joint pain. Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee and is available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. 100% safe. 100% amazing. Try Liquid Zeolite today.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Stephanie here with you tonight. And Julia. And we thank you for tuning in. You can call us at 855-453 if you have something you'd like to say or like to discuss with us, maybe is a better way to put it, if we like to have conversations. And we've been talking with Justice in the past segment about voluntarism, about the future of freedom in the world, I guess you could say. But I'd like to let you know real quick about the Erickson Council. The state owns the land, but they don't own the water. To be free today, you need a boat, and not just any boat, a life yacht.
It's a stable catamaran as big as a house that purifies its own water, generates its own power, grows its own food, and has a shallow draft to be able to get a four-wheel drive or SUV ashore. With a life yacht, you can live free of nearly any government intrusion and have a seashore home anywhere in the world. You can be involved for $1,000 and the commitment of as little as 8 months. Visit ericsoncouncil.com, and that's ericsson council.com. All right. I want to go back to the phones and continue the conversation we've been having with Justice. Justice, are you still with us?
Yes, I
Justice?
Am.
Oh, great. Okay. So, you know, you had asked us a number of questions in the last segment. We only got to talk about one of those questions, which is kind of like what happens if New Hampshire secedes. But another thing that you mentioned that I hope you don't mind if we switch gears and try to address that is, are there any, I think you asked if there are any historical precedents for a voluntarist kind of society in the midst of other societies where there is a strong centralized government, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Because, like, and the reason why I ask this is because, like, when the founding fathers founded America, mm-hmm. or, you know, founding fathers, quote unquote, they were hearkening back to, like, a republic can work because it kind of worked in Rome, so we can make it better, and mm-hmm. you know, that kind of a thought. So,
yeah, and I mean, the founding fathers. I don't know. I mean, historically, I don't think there has ever been a real voluntarist society, because I don't know if people have ever had the ideas of liberty like so explicitly down on a large scale. And I think that one thing that really ties in to the level of peace in society is like how people treat children and how people are raised like from a very young age. And historically, the treatment of children in society has been pretty brutal. Women were really oppressed for a long time. They didn't get to choose who they married or anything like that. They didn't have very many rights and didn't really do much outside of raising children. And so there's been a lot of like not free things about the way that life was throughout a lot of history. And so I don't know if you could ever say that there has been a true voluntarist society. There have been some, I guess, like you mentioned, that were kind of smaller governments, right? Like the Articles of Confederation, right? But I don't know. I don't know if that really represents what you're talking about, because they did still have government. It was just a little bit different. And of course, it's grown and ballooned over the years till it's gotten as big as it is today. But yeah, I don't know if we've ever really been there. Julia, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, my vision, I guess, for how I could see this potentially working, I always tell people when they ask about if for some reason my philosophy comes up, mm-hmm. That I want you to have whatever it is that you want for yourself. So I think there are some people out there that really like government. You know, mm-hmm. they feel like they're getting what they, I don't know. I can't see it, but they like it. I want you to have that government. I just don't want me to have that government. I don't want you to force it on me. So I kind of see things, if we ever get to this point, or I should say when, to be a little more optimistic,
mm-hmm.
Breaking up into little communities kind of all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you could choose basically to live in the community that you wanted, and there could be varying levels of government if you chose that for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the only example I can think of with private communities that I think has been successful is like some of the religious communities in Florida, for example. Some Christian guy bought up a huge piece of land.
Oh, is that the town where they
built an entire town? Right,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, it's really a great concept because people can choose to live there.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And follow those rules, and that's great for them. So
are they still subject to the government of Florida, though?
I'm positive they are.
Yeah.
I'm positive they are. So
they basically
the federal
are just
government
choosing to subject themselves to extra rules.
Extra rules, right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, basically the federal government would have, it has to go, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it seems to me like we've kind of got that situation as is already. I mean, you can immigrate to any place you want in the world. I mean,
well, it's not that easy, though. That's the thing. I mean, immigrating anywhere is really difficult, as I'm sure you know if you've ever looked into coming to New Hampshire, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, but really, especially for people like in the U.S. who have any kind of assets, immigrating almost anywhere else is not that hard. I mean, you just up and go.
Well, you don't up and go.
Yeah, there's a lot of legal hoops to jump through.
I was, when I was in high school, I wanted to move to Canada to go to college, and I was looking seriously into moving to Toronto to go to the University of Toronto, and it is a long and grueling process.
Even to get a student visa?
I think getting a student visa is probably easier, but there's still just so much paperwork involved.
And people think of Canada as less onerous than the U.S. also.
Right, but you read that story, the gun story, and that was from Canada.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, Justice, I did want to mention something really quick, and that is to say, like, you know, we were kind of saying that I don't really think there's ever been what I would envision as, like, a true voluntarist society.
I agree.
But that's no reason to have a state, right? I mean, that's no reason to have, you know, big oppressive governments that are holding people down just because there hasn't been, like, a really good example of something that's functioned without one.
I mean, I agree with that. I think that you're right. The, you know, just because there hasn't been an example of a true free doesn't mean that gives us reason to have this totalitarian overstructure, except for this one thing. It's a little bit like the pacifists who say, if only everyone would just, you know, not use guns, then the world would be a better place. Isn't it a little bit like that? Because the state is a structure, you know, and on its least common denominator, a structure of defense of a group of people. I mean, and sure, that rolls over into usually that those people who have the biggest artillery end up becoming the masters, the master class. But isn't that kind of the most primitive function of government? I mean,
well, I don't know, because if somebody dominates like a large chunk of it, you have to maintain that dominance, right? If you're going to dominate a group of people, you have to have something in place to keep that going, right?
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so I mean, there are costs to doing that as well. You know, you can't just take over the whole world, and then, I mean, how are you going to get the resources to maintain that? How are you going to keep in power? I don't know. I mean, it just seems like the power structure wouldn't be that easy to maintain.
No, the power structure is definitely not easy to maintain. That's why you have taxes. That's why you have the state and the problems that are related to the state.
Well, I think today a lot of it is enforced by other people. You know what I mean? Because people will get angry when their neighbor, like, doesn't pay taxes and say, well, I had to do it, so they should too, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of it is kind of horizontal enforcement. Justice, it's been a fascinating conversation. We're out of time, but feel free to call us back on this some other time. Really appreciate the conversation. This is Free Talk Live. Got some more calls on the line, and we're going to talk about the studying while Muslim thing. This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE is our number, and there's more coming up.
Do you use a CPAP breathing device to help treat sleep apnea and prevent snoring? If so, you should know big insurance companies and government regulations can affect the way you buy sleep apnea equipment. They decide what devices you receive, when you get replacement equipment, and even what you pay. Why limit the quality of your treatment? Break away from institutionalized healthcare and shop where you set the sleep therapy standard. Shop at CPAP.com. See what? CPAP. It stands for Continuous Positive Airway Pressure. CPAP.com has the equipment you want in stock and ready to ship today. Visit CPAP.com to see all of your sleep apnea equipment options, or call toll free 1-855-SNORE-11. That's 1-855-766-7311 to speak with a friendly sleep apnea expert who will answer all of your questions. Mention this ad for free shipping. Again, that's CPAP.com. CPAP.com. CPAP. Your money, your treatment, your choice.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com. Utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Did you know that how well your brain works is directly dependent upon how well your gut works? Did you know that an inflamed or compromised digestive system directly contributes to poor focus, depression, irritability, attention deficit, and hyperactivity? By eliminating the inflammation in your intestines and by having good bacteria populations, you may enjoy better brain function. The most important protein your body needs to keep inflammation down is glutathione. The number one food to support a dramatic increase in glutathione production is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. Virtually all whey proteins are damaged by heat, filtration, and chemicals, except one. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein on the market. It is changing the lives of its users in very positive ways. One World Whey may act as one of the most important health foods to support your and your child's optimal brain function. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Welcome back to the show. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Julia.
And we are taking your calls about whatever is on your mind. 855-450-3733 is the number. You can also watch us doing the show live at cam.freetalklive.com. Freetalklive.com is the website of the show, and there's all kinds of great features over there, including the cam, just for your enjoyment. So head over there, and we're going straight to the phones. Nick in Illinois is on the line, and I believe Nick wanted to continue the conversation about voluntarism. Nick, are you with us?
Yes.
Hey.
So Justice mentioned something that I want to zero in on. He said you were talking about what it would be like to have all these different voluntarist communities and people move between communities to find the one that has the rules they want. And he made the case of, well, how is that any different from what we have now? Your rebuttal to that, as I recall, was that it's not easy enough to move between places, but I don't think that cuts to the heart of the issue. What I think voluntarism is it's actually not really so much focused on the NAP as it is focused on a particular set
of... Sorry, habits. Just to interrupt you, Nick. NAP, for our listeners who aren't familiar, is the non-aggression principle. It's basically the idea that it's not okay to initiate force or fraud on somebody else.
Yes, but what defines the voluntarist perspective on what is aggression is according to a particular idea of property rights. And because there are a lot of statists who also believe that what they believe in is the non-aggression principle, except that what we see as state aggression, they see as rightful action. And the reason why is because the difference between statism and voluntarism primarily regards how one derives rules-making authority. That's what I would say.
So, for instance, someone might think that, oh, well, it's not theft, it's taxes, right?
Right.
Whereas maybe a libertarian would say, well, no, it's theft. It's just who's taking the money by force? Is it a robber, or is it somebody in a suit making official rules and telling you must give your money, or we're going to take your house eventually?
Yes. Well, the reason why statists The reason why the state claims that authority is essentially because of it all boils down to the principle of eminent domain, which comes from a 19th century treatise by a French philosopher, I believe, who described that states ultimately derive their authority from a popular belief that the state owns all the property and people in its domain.
It certainly seems to still think that it does own all the property and people in its domain.
Yes, and where voluntarists disagree with that is that we believe in equal rights, that no one has authority over another person, and so the ultimate threat that you can use against someone who disobeys the rules on your property is simply expulsion. In a true voluntarist society, no matter where you are in the world, no matter what set of rules you live under, it would not be legitimate for someone to throw you in a cage against your will for possession of a forbidden plant matter. The most they would be able to do is expel you, and that. So you might say, well, in that case, how is that all that different? What if we lived in a giant voluntarist community called America with all the same rules we have today, except that they're enforced with expulsion instead of imprisonment? Well, the major difference there is that when somebody is expelled, they still have all their property. They're no longer doing business with you. You can't collect rent from people who aren't there, and that brings market dynamics to the process of the rulemaking on that landmass.
Okay, because they have an incentive to not kick everybody out. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. You have to, because it establishes, you know, an equal rights relationship. It establishes a customer relationship instead of a subject relationship. Because as it is right now, the government claims the authority to do pretty much whatever they can get away with to you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that is why, you know, whenever people say, well, hang on, don't we already have anarchy because you can move to whatever landmass you want to and live under any set of rules that are out there, that's the rebuttal.
Yeah, I haven't heard too many people out there saying, don't we already live in a free society or don't we have anarchy, as you put it?
I have.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. I have found that most of the common arguments that I have heard that libertarians like to use don't really work, at least in my area, because I think that there is a major breakdown of communication, and I hear it every night on Free Talk Live, between the libertarian perspective and the status perspective, because I guess most of us are so distant from it now that we kind of wonder, how did we ever think that way?
Sure.
But I live with, you know, I live with the statists, including one espoused socialist. So
well, Nick,
every
do you
now
think,
and then,
speaking of communication breakdown, I mean, do you think that maybe it even sets a little bit of an adversarial relationship up to refer to people who endorse government as statists? Do you think that's sort of a derogatory term?
Well, I don't really use it around those people, but I do think that a lot of the type of argumentation used by libertarians does create an adversarial relationship, especially
yeah,
when you,
absolutely,
especially when you, you know, telling the person that they're being aggressive when they just don't understand it, I don't think it's very, it's not very
effective. I would agree. Yeah, and it doesn't create a connection with them, right? They
NVC meaning nonviolent communication.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. I think you're right about that. That if you tell another person that, oh, you're being immoral, you're being aggressive, you're doing something wrong, that doesn't exactly set them up to be ready to hear you, right? To be ready to relate to what you're saying. They're thinking about trying to defend themselves.
Well, this is actually one of my biggest critiques of a lot of the activism that I see in Keene, is, you know, I understand that these local politicians, that they, you know, they are aggressing against people. They're okay with hurting people, but they don't see that. And that's kind of the norm. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I feel like going after them and saying, don't aggress against us. Don't aggress. You're aggressing. You're hurting.
They don't understand
that. And that just makes them reject it more.
Yeah, I think there is a serious problem with something that, as Nick mentioned in this idea of nonviolent communication, is called enemy imagery. And that means you think of someone else as an enemy, not as a human being who's like you, in some ways at least. Because, I mean, we're all human beings. We all have certain things in common. But if you think of somebody as an opponent, or, oh, they're a statist, you know, they're one of those evil bureaucrats, right? That's another term.
Yeah.
I think sets up kind of...
I kind of cringe a little every time I hear Ian, you know, talk derisively about people and say things like attorney genital.
Yeah,
that's actually an old joke. And it was because...
I know the origin of
yes,
that joke.
Yes, I accidentally said that on the air, and it was an accident.
I actually made a Freudian slip the other day on my show and said that... show pork therapy and said that by accident just because I'd heard it said so many times. It just kind of came out. But yeah, I know. I agree with you, Nick, about sort of the idea of name-calling. And, you know, the people in government, I think, have names for libertarians, too. They'll call them free staters. They'll call them those crazy whatever. You know, they'll call them crazy. They'll call them fringe. Maybe even, like, domestic terrorists or something like that. I don't know what they say, but they definitely have, I think both sides sort of have this enemy imagery of each other.
I agree.
Regarding tactics that work, there are only two, as opposed to like moralizing against people. Mm-hmm. I know of two success stories. One is my own and one is a friend of mine. In my own case, I was convinced through arguments from effect. I was shown through the Ron Paul website and then from there, Mises.org, mm-hmm. how free market economics actually makes for a better society and why government programs don't work. That was what convinced me and set me on the road that I'm on.
Okay.
But then the way I presented the moral argument to a friend of mine, whom I believe I have won over, was, you know, I told him I'm a voluntarist. He said, well, what's that? And I chose my words very carefully, and what I believe I said ultimately was, I think that we should all have equal rights. And then I explained what that meant, and I used that to make the argument that taxation is theft.
Mm-hmm. And that you found that to be an effective way to get your friend thinking on the same path that you are?
Yeah, he said, oh, I never thought of it that way. It was not done in a confrontational way. There was no mention of
winter specials. And then there are super winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like elderberry power, orégacillin, olive leaf capsules, grapefruit seed extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Don't forget vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, herbalhealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes, whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
What is the most abundant resource on Earth? Water. It's essential for sustaining life, but it's not always the most available. When disaster strikes, water quickly vanishes from store shelves, like it did during 9/11, Katrina, Japan, and in Joplin. 3 days without water and your body begins to shut down. Don't risk being without an abundant supply of water when the next disaster hits. Get a FlowJack hand well pump. The affordable FlowJack drops right into almost any well and is easy to install without having to remove the existing pump, giving you immediate access to plenty of cool, clean water. You could risk your family's health on a limited supply of stored water, or you could be prepared with the reliable, affordable FlowJack backup hand pump kit, delivered to your door for only $3.99 complete. See how it works at FlowJack.com, spelled FlowJack.com. Be sure to spell FlowJack.com or call 855-4-FLOWJACK. That's 855-435-6525. Proudly made in America. FlowJack hand well pumps. Peace of mind in a box.
Get over 6,000 preparedness items. Get you ready. That's what you'll find at GetReadySurvival.com. Over 6,000 preparedness items. And counting, because we're adding new items nearly every day. GetReadySurvival.com has it all. Small and family-sized tents, backpacks, sleeping bags, food supplies. Get yours at GetReadySurvival.com. Portable water filters, canteens and hydro packs, knives, axes, shovels, compasses, camouflage and tactical gear, fire starters and ammunition. It's all at GetReadySurvival.com. GetReady.com. How about first aid medical, emergency, or small personal survival kits? Get yours at GetReadySurvival.com. If you are not prepared or just semi-prepared, the place to get prepared now is GetReadySurvival.com. Got questions? Call 928-541-9723. That's 928-541-9723. Or go to GetReadySurvival.com. And remember, survival preparedness means living on your own terms.
2012 is finally here, and while the government racks up another $1 trillion in debt, the IRS is hard at work collecting. In fact, they're even sending agents to some people's homes and place of business. If you owe back taxes, have years of unfiled tax returns, or are receiving threatening letters or phone calls, call the Tax Division of the Law Offices of Craig Zimmerman at 800-652-6978. Our Tax Division is spearheaded by a former IRS agent with over 31 years experience. He knows the ins and outs of the IRS and how to get them off your back once and for all. The phone call is free and so is the consultation. So call now. 800-652-6978. That's 800-652-6978. Don't wait for agents to knock on your door. Call 800-652-6978 or visit us on the web at www.craigzlaw.com. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. As we close out the second hour of the show, you can call us at 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. That's our number where you can bring up anything that's on your mind. We've had some very interesting discussions tonight, haven't we, Julia?
Yes.
Yeah, always like it. Our callers are intelligent. They have a lot to say. And the topics vary, so it's never a boring show. And I'd like to let you know about ManVentureOutpost.com. If you're looking for camping, hunting, or shooting gear, knives, ammunition, scopes, binoculars, laser sights, tactical flashlights, anything with tactical in it's got to be good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fish finders and boating equipment, ManVentureOutpost.com is family-owned, and they are members in good standing of the Better Business Bureau, always a good thing. Some of their prices are so low that they can't even be mentioned on the air. You can get an additional 5% off with coupon code FTL, and so you should go to ManVentureOutpost.com for all your camping, hunting, and shooting needs. So, okay, Julia, we finally cleared the phone lines, but of course you're welcome to call in 855-450-FREE if you have thoughts. I really wanted to talk with you about this article. It's called Studying While Muslim, and it's actually from mainstream news. It's from CNN.com. It's a fairly lengthy article, but let me just read you kind of the gist of it. Basically, the New York Police Department, the NYPD, has, the Associated Press basically obtained some documents somehow from the NYPD saying that they have been engaged in weekly surveillance of American Muslim college groups at 16 schools across the Northeast, including New York University, Yale, Rutgers, and the University of Pennsylvania. And the NYPD has neither commented on the number of years that this has been happening or if it's still happening. As part of the secret program, the NYPD generated weekly reports about the Muslim student groups at these schools. They even set up an undercover, quote, safe house near the campus of Rutgers University to spy on the students. Ironically, that operation ended when the building superintendent became suspicious and called the police, thinking the NYPD officers were part of a terrorist cell. So they got the cops called on them because somebody called them terrorists. And it's just this crazy finger-pointing exercise. You're a terrorist. No, you're a terrorist.
Yeah.
I mean, can you believe that there have been 16 schools? And this is the NYPD, so the New York Police Department. They are a city police department. And they are going all the way to the University of Pennsylvania, which isn't even in New York. So that's way outside of their jurisdiction,
yeah,
to spy on Muslim student groups.
You know what I think is most sad about this is that there's probably
a larger percentage than I would like to acknowledge that think that this is okay.
Yes, I completely agree with
and
you.
And I think that's really sad.
Yeah.
You know, I hear, on Facebook, you know, sometimes you've got a kind of a weird combination of friends, right? Because you've got some relatives sometimes. Mm. Like, I have relatives on there. And
yes.
I have this cousin who often just spews this, like, hatred for a lot of different people, but Muslim particularly. And I just, it's so offensive.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you do when that comes up?
She's younger than me, mm-hmm. probably like 6 years. So I have no problem putting her in her place.
Well, yeah,
I'm going to say something if you're going to, you know, I mean, if my grandma posted it at that, my grandma's old.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably not going to change. There's no reason to get into it with grandma, right? But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if there's anything that you could do to get her, the cousin, to like, think of them as people.
Yeah.
Right, basically, you know, like, how would you like
She also gets into Mexicans, and she lives in California, so, you know, people in California go, well, you don't know what the Mexican problem's like around here.
Actually, I have a great Mexican restaurant near my house, and they don't bother me at all.
No, and I lived in Florida, so I know about Hispanic culture. I mean, Miami... Mm-hmm. is largely a Cuban and Mexican communities. So to say, oh, well, you live in New Hampshire where there's only white people, so you don't understand what these people are like. You know,
yeah.
It's just so short-sighted.
And so what are some of the specific, are there any specific complaints? Like, besides they're there and they're brown?
Yeah, it'll be things like, oh, this creepy Mexican guy was, like, looking at me, you know, and it's like, well, why not just say creepy guy? Yeah, there's creepy white guys out there.
Plenty.
And there was some sort of, this may have been in the news, I don't really follow mainstream news, so I'm kind of behind sometimes on events unless I happen to see them online. I just don't know about them. But some sort of defacing of something happened, and nobody knows who it was, but she was blaming Muslims. And all I could think was, you know, you don't know that. So why would you say that?
That just shows how they become a scapegoat.
Yeah.
And they get blamed for all the problems. I mean, there are people out there who blame diseases, the prevalence of certain diseases on Mexicans and immigrants and things like that.
It's just sad.
Yeah, I know. And there are people out there who, you know, any ill in society that they don't like, well, oh, it must be the fault of the Mexicans, or it must be the fault of the Jews, or the blacks, or the gays, or whoever they don't like. I mean, I'm just so sick of it, but anything people don't like, they'll pin it on certain groups.
I used to work with this guy who was super racist, and he always used to say, the only thing that you need to know, the only Spanish words that you need to know in America are, where's the welfare office? And I always found it
like there are
super,
no English-speaking people on welfare.
I would say that if you were to do a poll of the people on welfare, there's a large percentage of white people on welfare. So,
yeah.
I mean, really.
So I think if you strip away all the name-calling and all the you know, anger directed at one racial group, what he's probably saying is, like, he has a complaint about his money being taken, and he works hard, and given to somebody else who maybe doesn't work as hard as him, or he thinks there's, like, abuse going on in the welfare system. And that's
and
a legitimate complaint, for sure. I can relate to that, right? Can't you? But, I mean, saying it, like, as though it's the fault of, you know, pinning it on the Mexicans, and saying it in this sort of taunting way, I don't think is very helpful.
No, not at all. And in fact, I would say that there's probably, I mean, the reason when Mexicans come over here, they work very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime I've ever worked with foreigners in general, they're way harder workers than Americans, most Americans that I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they come from very poor backgrounds and they did not have the opportunity to make the money that they make here.
Sure. Well,
so,
some people think they can come to America to get a better life, but that's
isn't
changing.
That sad?
Yeah, because it's becoming harder and harder to not only to get employed, because now they're doing these, like, background checks on people, right? Aren't there some, like, Dunkin' Donuts was the first one to, like, voluntarily test out this E-Verify, that's what it was. It was some database where they would look up the person's social security number and verify that they were a U.S. citizen. And I think it was Dunkin' Donuts who voluntarily opted into this before they were mandated to do it. in all their locations. And some people, you know, really didn't like that, so they boycotted them.
I actually worked, when I worked at Panera in Florida, we had an illegal immigrant working, and got taken out. He got deported.
Oh, that's
and
too bad.
He was such a great worker that everybody at work, all the managers, you know, they all said, man, I would have let him live in, you know, the closet over there so he could stay.
Wow.
Like, just because he was such a great worker.
That's so unfortunate.
I know.
And, yeah, it's really held over their heads, isn't it? I mean, if you have a job where your boss, if he doesn't like what you do or she doesn't like what you do, can threaten to call INS or on you or ICE or whatever it's called on you, then they really have an extra amount of power over you that they wouldn't have normally. And so it really sets up a situation that can be very uncomfortable for the person who's working there.
And they still want to come here.
Yeah, I guess. I guess it must be one of those myths, you know, like sort of like people in the U.S. are sometimes told about college. You know, like if you go to college, you'll definitely get a decent job. As long as you get an education, your foot's going to be in the door, and that's your ticket to a good job. Well, that's becoming increasingly not true.
Yeah.
Especially when people spend so much money on a college education, and they, you know, they end up not being able to get a job. Maybe they're like an art history major or whatever.
Yeah, any of the liberal arts degrees are pretty much, I would call them useless. I mean, sociology, anthropology, unless you want to be a sociology teacher.
Yeah.
Not a lot of jobs out there.
Not a lot of jobs, absolutely. Yeah, maybe not so practical or the things that you learned you could learn by alternative means and not spend so much money on it.
Yeah, I mean, sociology, I loved that class. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was very interesting.
Yeah,
but
fascinating.
That doesn't mean that you should make a degree out of it.
Sure. I mean, I really enjoy reading about gender issues.
Yeah.
But I never studied women's studies or gender studies in college, and if I had, it probably wouldn't have given me the return on my investment, shall we say?
Definitely not.
But I still think it's fascinating. So there are lots of alternatives to learning. It's Free Talk Live. You can call us at 855-450-3733. What do you think of the NYPD spying on Muslim students?
AutoZone can help you protect your engine and the environment. Valvoline NextGen is better than new oil. It's 50% recycled oil, better for the environment, and great for your engine. Get a 5-plus quart jug of Valvoline NextGen conventional motor oil and a Fram ExtraGuard oil filter for just $20.99. Or Valvoline MaxLife NextGen High Mileage and a Fram ToughGuard filter for just $3 more. See store for restrictions and details. Protect your car and the environment with help from AutoZone. Parts are just part of what we do.
Get in the zone.
AutoZone.
My mom gives me a glass of emergency kits every day before school.
Why, with all the vitamin C and antioxidants you're getting, I bet you're a bit of a recess renegade. Making mud pies with your bare hands, capturing bullfrogs to scare the girls, even daring to eat a piece of meatless meatloaf your friend smuggled out of the cafeteria on a triple dog dare, right?
No.
Relax, kid. I'm just making a point. Introducing Emergency Kids, with immune-supporting vitamin C, antioxidants, and fun fizzy flavors kids love. Find us near you at CVS, Rite Aid, and Whole Foods Market.